Hey, this is Stephen Curry from the Golden State Warriors, number 30. And you listen to Drive Time Sports on KOAL 750 AM.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, 107.3 FM, 750 AM. We have a lot of national sports to talk about today. We are on the eve of Game 1 of the NBA Finals. It's been a long time. I mean, if you're a Golden State Warrior fan, it seems like it's been forever since you've got to watch your team play. The Cavaliers, they dispatched the Boston Celtics in five games. Golden State, on the other hand, they haven't lost a playoff game yet this year. Joining us to talk NBA Finals, we have a great friend of mine and a great friend of the show, Jameson Welsh of BelieveTheHypeNBA.com. Jameson, good as always to get you on. Thank you.
Hey, Jordan, thanks for having me as always, man. Definitely appreciate it.
We're on the eve of Game 1 of the NBA Finals. It'll go down at Oracle Arena, Cleveland, Golden State. We're talking about the rubber match. As far as I'm concerned, Jameson, you can throw the last 2 years out because they don't really mean a whole lot when looking at this year's matchup. I mean, obviously, the teams are a little bit different, but I think an overlooked aspect when breaking down the previous two seasons is the previous two finals is that the first year Cleveland was without Kevin Love and without Kyrie. The second year, Golden State had complete control before a suspension to Draymond Green in the middle of the series kind of altered things. This year, both teams are as healthy and as basically at full force, as close to full force as you could possibly be. I'm ready for this matchup.
Oh, I've been ready. I think we're in for a pretty good finals. I think we have a good situation going. I really do. When it comes down to it, I'm looking forward to see some of the tweaks and some of the adjustments both teams have made from the previous years. I want to see how the Warriors defend the constant pick and rolls and see if they're going to trap, see if they're going to go one-on-one again, how they're going to deal with that. I also want to see what the Cavs do defensively, because even though the Cavs have had their way with the Eastern Conference opponents, their defense wasn't that great. I mean, teams were just not making shots, especially in the first game of that Boston series. Boston had a bunch of wide-open shots. They just weren't making them. You give the Warriors a bunch of wide-open shots, they're going to be down 15 very quickly. So that's why I'm kind of interested to see, what takes place there. I think defensively where the series is going to have its course, because we know what both teams can do offensively. We know that's going to be the case. But defensively, that's going to be interesting. And also, what do the Cavs do? Because you're going to put LeBron on one guy. You can't put him on Draymond and Kevin Durant. So what do you do? Do you put him on Draymond to hope stagnate the offense, or do you put him on Kevin Durant to hopefully slow him down? It's going to be very interesting to see what they do in that regard, because both are very key weapons, and both guys are able to do different things. So we'll definitely see. But the Warriors have definitely the advantage. That's the reason why they are favored. They have the advantages at the moment.
I have my opinion on both those topics you just brought up. First off, as far as the defense goes, I'm with you. I was not high on Cleveland in the middle of the regular season because they did not play defense. I think in the postseason, the most noticeable difference to this team defensively is the fact that they're getting back in transition. Now, I would have loved to have watched Cleveland go toe-to-toe with Washington. I think that would have been a little bit more telling as far as how much the transition defense really has improved. And I think that's key in the game, because key in the series in general, because if you look at Golden State, they've been so great in transition throughout the entire season, averaging close to 25 points per game in transition. That's insane when you look at that number in the postseason, considering you're playing some of the best teams. On the flip side of that, defensively for Cleveland, you put LeBron on Kevin Durant and you force Draymond Green to beat you. Give me Kevin Durant over Draymond Green any day of the week offensively. You have to force Draymond to beat you in the series.
Oh, yeah. If he's going to shoot 50% from three like he's been doing in the playoffs, you got to let him do it. I mean, if he's going to hit those shots, he's going to hit them. But you got to pick your poison, But if you're getting, here's the thing: you can't give up wide open shots. You got to give up semi contested shots. Once you get that guy, NBA players shoot wide open shots when they're in rhythm, their feet are set, they're gonna knock those down. Especially guys that are kind of hot. Now, the one guy I was allowed to shoot would be Andre Iguodala. He hasn't found his shot yet in the playoffs, and it'd be a wonderful time for him to find it in this series. But he's the guy that you got to play off of, take your chances with. But Draymond's beating him at a high clip. With that being said, you still got to let him shoot it. If he's going to hit 50%, if he's going to hit, 20 of them in the series, then God bless him. But, that's kind of what you give up, But here's the thing. The Warriors are so tough to defend because a lot of their stuff comes off broken plays. A lot of their stuff comes off of a missed rebound or, offensive rebound, a tip pass here or there. And next thing you know, Clay or Steph or Durant has an open shot. And that's where they're dangerous at. That's where it gets ugly at. So we'll see what happens. You know, the key thing for Cleveland is going to be securing the rebound and also limiting the Warriors one shot. If they're able to limit the Warriors in one shot, especially a contested shot, they have action. If not, if they're allowing the Warriors to get second chance opportunities, it's going to be a very short series.
Again, our guest right now is Jameson Walsh from BelieveTheHypeNBA.com. Jameson, you brought up Andre Iguodala. As crazy as this sounds, I actually view him as one of the most important players in the series. It wasn't that long ago he was NBA Finals MVP. I know that his skills have diminished a bit. He's getting a little bit older in age, and you can see some of that lockdown defense that he was known for starting to fade away just a bit. But still, between Draymond and between Andre Iguodala, Golden State has something where you have an elite Hall of Fame type defender in Draymond Green right now, and a very veteran savvy defender in Andre Iguodala that you can throw at LeBron at any point in time in this series. Those two guys are an X factor for me just based off of that assessment right there.
Yes. No, I agree. I agree. You know, both those guys, I mean, Iguodala is a guy that you just need 6 or 7 games from him. Like, you don't need anything else. If he's able to play solid defense, you'll be all right, because offensively, you don't need a whole lot from him. You may need an occasional shot here or there, but you don't need a whole lot from him. If he doesn't score, it's not the end of the world. You know, he's been able to contribute before, but if he's able to hit an outside shot here or there, if he's able to get a layup or a dunk or a free throw here and there, it's all right. The Warriors have enough scoring. That's not their issue. They need enough bodies for LeBron. They have, you know, Matt Barnes, Iguodala, of course, Durant and Draymond. So they got guys that can do a decent job on LeBron, make him work hard, and stay in front of them. They have those. That's key. I always think whenever you have a player like LeBron, you need to have bodies to throw at him. You can't just have Jay Crowder or Marcus Smart. That's just not going to work. It's almost like, you know, when teams were going against Shaq back in the day, especially in his heyday, you needed bodies. You needed some decent bodies to throw at him. And if you had some decent guys, you had a shot. And, you know, one of the key things, you know, when the Lakers played Detroit, they had Ben Wallace, who was the defensive player of the year. You know, he was that good. He was that kind of player. So that also helps. So the Warriors have a lot of options to put on LeBron, and I think that will help them as this series goes along.
Stick with Golden State here for a moment, and we'll talk Klay Thompson. Since Game 4 of that Utah Jazz series for Golden State, here are the shooting percentages for Klay Thompson. 2 of 11 in Game 1 against San Antonio. That's 18% from the field. 4 of 10, 40%, 7 of 15, 46%, and 3 of 13, 23%. That is not very Klay Thompson-esque. If he continues to struggle from the field like that in this series, can Golden State still win?
They certainly can, because they have Steph Curry and Kevin Durant, and those two guys can get you 70 any night. So they can still win. It makes it a little bit difficult, but Klay Thompson is also going to be defending Kyrie Irving a lot. He's going to be, you know, in a lot of different cross matches with other players as well. So it'll be very interesting to see. But, yeah, I do believe that they can win with him. They prefer not to. They prefer to play as a couple of really good games. You know, they prefer to play as a couple of those 5 3-point games, you know, a couple of those, and especially on the road, where he seems to play better at. You'll see on the road, he seems to, you know, something about him, he seems to go off on the road every now and then in a playoff game. I mean, he has the playoff record for 3s in a game. So we know he's capable of doing it. We know it's not a, you know, he's not able to do it. It's just sometimes about rhythm. Sometimes the game goes that way. But we know he has at least one big game in him. We understand that what he's able, what he's capable of doing. And we're not surprised if he had a really big game in a game 3 or a game 4 where he hit 7 threes in a game. We would not be shocked by it. He's capable of doing so. He's done so in the past.
Let's flip and we'll talk about Cleveland. You already brought up Tristan Thompson. Well, you brought up rebounding, limiting Golden State to one shot. So it kind of works hand in hand with what I've been saying leading into the finals, that Tristan Thompson is one of the most important players in this series if Cleveland is going to win. I know everybody wants to talk about LeBron. Look, I think LeBron could average 40 a game. He could average 40, 15, and 10 a game. If Tristan Thompson and Kevin Love are not active on the glass, Cleveland's not winning this series. In fact, it's a relatively short series, regardless what LeBron and Kyrie are doing. Those two, Tristan Thompson and Kevin Love, have to be active in the glass on this series.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, they have to be active, and they also have to be on the offensive. If they're getting offensive boards, they have to be able to put them back. Like, Tristan Thompson's good at getting offensive boards, but sometimes he misses the putback, or sometimes he throws the ball away, and he can't have that. You got to be able to get, you have to be able to create second possessions and third possessions, and that's going to be key. But also, I'm looking to see what Kevin Love does, because Draymond Green's the defensive player of the year this year. He's been that good. And if you're going to put him on Kevin Love, Kevin Love might not be heard from in this series. Like, it might be a very silent series for Kevin Love. So if that's going to happen, we're going to see what kind of adjustments Kevin Love can make. Because if Draymond's on him, he's not going to get his averages. He's not, whatever he's been averaging, he's not going to get that. So I'm kind of interested to see what happens at that point. But yeah, Kevin Love, I think, is an interesting X factor for the Cavs, because when he plays well, they're almost unbeatable. But when he doesn't, when you rely on Kyrie and LeBron to get a lot of their scoring out production, it gets very interesting.
Yeah, I know the talk, and it drives me nuts, is what does a win in the NBA Finals do for LeBron James? Look, this guy's legacy is set. He's a top six, top seven player of all time right now. That's only going to continue to grow. I think if LeBron and the Cavaliers win this series, we look back on LeBron James's career and say, man, he accomplished something, knocking off a team with 73 wins, and then coming back and knocking off a team that had four legitimate all-stars. I mean, four standout elite players on this team. It's a different game, though, this year, Jameson, a different series in general. They cannot win squarely based off the production of LeBron James. It's not possible in this series. This is a completely different beast in Golden State.
Yeah, it's definitely a different beast. And it's a beast with Kevin Durant, who was motivated to get that first ring. He's the guy that made the switch to Golden State. He made it for a reason, and he's trying to do whatever it takes to get that ring, man. He's a guy that's on a mission. Steph Curry's on a mission to prove that the last two finals weren't a fluke. He hasn't. Well, in the first finals, he didn't play that bad. He should have won MVP in that first finals. I will say that. When you average 26 a night and you have big games, five and six is to close things out, you should be the finals MVP. But that's a different story for a different day. But last year was a very disappointing finals for Steph. He just didn't play well for various reasons, but he did not play well. He was nowhere near 100%. He still played, didn't make any excuses, which I can appreciate. With that being said, I do believe that the Warriors have too many weapons. I do think they have a little bit too many weapons, and they have too many guys that the Cavs can account for, because the Cavs don't really have any great defensive players on their roster. I mean, LeBron plays defense. You know, he does ratchet up around this time of year, but outside of him, they don't have any great defensive guys that can make things difficult for the Warriors guys. So if the Warriors are able to run their set and get into their set, I do think that they'll become victorious in this series in six or less.
I agree with you. I picked Golden State in five in this series. I'm going to stick with it. I think Golden State wins games one and two. I think that makes things interesting when we go to Cleveland, but ultimately, I think they get this done. If they get a 3-1, they're not going to blow that lead this year. Jameson, I want to end with this. Mike Brown is on the sideline for Golden State. Last season, there was a similar instance with Luke Walton having to fill in for a very long time for the Warriors, and because of that, Luke Walton managed to grab a head coaching job this past offseason. I think it was definitely warranted. He deserved that job. However, we're seeing this team ease through the postseason without Steve Kerr once again and Mike Brown at the helm. Is it really as simple as anyone could coach this team, or is Steve Kerr and the Golden State Warrior front office been very, very good in placing the right pieces around him, trustworthy coaches who can get the most out of their guys? Because it's not as if Mike Brown has had a successful head coaching tenure.
Well, it's a combination of both. It's definitely a combination. One, having veteran head coaches in the league that know how the league works, know how the system works, that's always key. But also, man, look, you got four All-Stars in their prime. Motivated guys that want to win. It's kind of difficult to mess that up. You know, like when you can say all the stuff you want to say, when you got those guys, when you got that kind of roster, you're going to be all right. You're going to be in a winning situation. So it's a situation where I'm not surprised at what's taking place. I do believe that when you look at the roster, you look at what's going on. You know, it really comes down to the fact that, hey, The Warriors are a team that any average coach can take to the promised land. Any average coach can do this. This is not a surprise at all. This is not a shock. You can make a case that this is what they should be doing. So, yeah, no, this is exactly, this is exactly what any coach would do. I can make a case that Draymond's the head coach and Steph is the assistant, because Draymond's the outspoken guy. He's the loud guy. Steph is the more quiet, but he leads by example. I think those two are your coaches and everybody else follows suit.
Jameson Walsh, BelieveTheHypeNBA.com, talking NBA Finals with us. It's always fun. Jameson, I know we'll catch up again next week.
Yep, not a problem, man. I always appreciate you having me on.
We're going to break for just a moment. More Drive Time Sports coming up when we return. We're going to move over to talk mixed martial arts. We have UFC 212 coming up this weekend, kind of a lackluster pay-per-view, but Larry Pepe of Pro MMA Radio will join us. We'll talk about that and some of the other storylines right after this.